welcome to the Monkeys Fighting Robots podcast with Matthew Sardo.
Take your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape!
Holy sh! They're actually monkeys fighting robots!
You can follow us on Twitter at monkeys_robots and on Instagram at monkeys fighting robots. Make sure to download and review our podcast from iTunes and Stitcher. And now, here's your host, Matt.
Welcome to the 106th episode of Monkeys Fighting Robots. Today's episode is going to be golden. EJ and I are talking about the Golden Globes, and we are bringing the whole staff from Monkeys Fighting Robots to the table. I'm your host, Matthew Sardo. I'm also the co-founder of MonkeysFightingRobots.com. Joining me in the banter is my co-host, movie critic EJ Marino. EJ, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Birthday.
Yeah, there's a lot to cover. We've had a lot to do since our break, and I'm pretty excited because this show's ridiculous. We have so many people here, so many things to talk about. This is going to be fun.
We have Larry, the managing editor of MonkeysFightingRobots.com. We have Felix Albuerne, movie critic from Tampa. And then we have Dewey Singleton, the other movie critic from Tampa. And everybody's coming from a different perspective. And I'm excited about this because the Golden Globes is like my drunk award show that I really enjoy. I feel like all the people that go to the award show enjoy it.
I feel like the people doing the nominations were drunk. Like, some of these are ridiculous. I can't wait to get into
this. Oh, the insults have already started. Okay.
You're just upset that Batman
we're not even a minute in.
You're just upset that Batman vs. Superman didn't get enough nods.
Oh, man.
Let's see how long we can go without another Batman v. Superman reference.
I think Snyder got flipped off collectively by the foreign press, and that's a sentiment I think three of us share. But, hey, you know.
I don't think he cares about the Hollywood foreign press.
That's or okay. Making anything good.
Yeah, there you go.
Ooh, that was good. That was good.
Or narrative storytelling, yeah.
Hi, girls, we're all pretty. We're all going to get dates to the prom.
No. You don't understand. The microphones are on now. It's hot, okay? we're gonna come after the one guy who makes the rest of us look like idiots. We're doing it today. It's coming out right now. He said not to yell at him. Well, that was an invitation to yell at him.
All right, well, wait.
Let's go. Let's
Felix,
do this.
Felix, let's do this correctly then, because if EJ is a defender of the Snyder DC universe, you got Dewey already trolling Justice League a year before it even comes out.
Yes. Yes.
We've seen one trailer and we're already trashing a film. So fanboys, we need to kind of come to center and give things time. And again, we all saw Batman vs. Superman. We have an opinion about it, but that was 2016, so let's move on. Can we?
Well, look, I think, isn't it fair to say that we're all willing to be surprised?
Yes.
We all want to be proven wrong. However, with the track record, and granted, the track record is perceived differently by those of us that are here today, but for some of us, the track record just points to mediocrity at best and troll-worthy at worst. And so, you know, you can't blame us for being skeptical. Now, prove us wrong. Make a film that is palatable.
Wonder Woman's on the way.
That's not Snyder.
It doesn't matter. No.
No, because we're holding Snyder specifically accountable for his skill as a storyteller, storyteller.
Now, why do people hate Suicide Squad then?
I think Suicide Squad was a better film than BVS.
No,
it was a better film than BVS. Not a whole lot better.
And you're
talking about tripe and, you know, yesterday's garbage. You know, they're two levels here. Neither one of
which
them.
Which kind
great.
Of cancer do you want to get? You
know? Sure. The one that kills you quickly, or the one that drags on for you know, forever.
And just to defend myself for a second, as I was waiting for an opening, as Felix's head was about ready to explode. As for the Justice League, I just pointed out two issues that I saw coming. That's a distinct difference than going out on a limb and declaring something a masterpiece on the level of you know, a Citizen Kane or something along those lines.
We're talking about
apples and oranges here. So what I did was just point out something that, you know, in retrospect, maybe I should have taken a step back and said, hey, let me just see the movie first. But I was just expressing my personal thoughts that, hey, I'm not as keen about this movie based on what I've heard and what I've already seen. That's basically all I said about the Justice League. And I believe in the article I said, prove me wrong, which is what Felix was just saying as well.
Prove us wrong.
I think the whole DC universe is hinged on the success of Wonder Woman. And of course, that trailer looks amazing. But, you know, the Batman versus Superman trailer looked pretty incredible, too.
So, you get the hiccups on the podcast?
Yeah, I got the hiccups.
Okay, this is turning into the late hours of the Christmas dinner table where the battles are coming. Does anybody else have a grievance that they need to air before we actually start talking about the Golden Globes?
Yeah, let's get on. Let's move on from DC.
No, all my grievances today are about the Golden Globes.
Michael,
it's not going to be more than 2 hours. It's going to be way over 2 hours.
Oh, no. I'm going to be the Wolf Blitzer of this debate, and we're going to cut it off quick.
Okay, go.
You're going to repeat what we say, exactly how we say it?
Does anybody have a problem with Arrival getting snubbed? Because that was my number two film of 2016, and I was kind of upset that it's not on the list for best drama.
I had to personally find a movie just to like, because I was just like, man, if Arrival's not here, I don't know what I'm going to pick. So it was more upsetting for me because it kind of threw off a lot of my predictions, because I was like, that was best director for me, that was best picture for me, and now it's not here. So I'm like, I have to like other things.
Felix?
I think it's really great. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. Hacksaw Ridge is surprising to me. I mean, I get it. It's the prestige war movie. It's the return of Mel Gibson, on and on. But as far as a movie goes, I would have replaced that one with Arrival.
The one that surprised me that was missing entirely from the Golden Globes was Denial with Rachel Weisz and Tom Wilkinson. That was a film that I thought was brilliantly executed, beautifully acted, and deserved some recognition. And the fact that no one, Timothy Spall, should have been in the supporting actor category. Tom Wilkinson, Rachel Weisz, the fact that it's not here at all was surprising to me. So that would be my one snub that stood out.
Dewey, what was your opinion on Arrival getting snubbed?
Well, we got to remember that the categories, we got drama and comedy. Drama is pretty jam-packed, and Lion's a tremendous film, Manchester by the Sea, Moonlight, Hell or High Water, Hacksaw, Ridge, Fences could have been in there. So it's not entirely surprising that Arrival just missed the cut, because they keep those categories at about five each. So, I mean, someone wasn't going to make the cut. And as for Felix's comment about Denial, I have a feeling Denial is going to end up showing its face around Oscar time, because you're right, Denial is a tremendous film. But as for Arrival, I loved it, no question about it. I said as much on the website, but someone had to not make it, and I guess Arrival was the one.
The next debate I want to kind of talk about is, since we are a pop culture website, we've already had our grievances with Batman vs. Superman aired, Deadpool got nominated for the Golden Globes, and there are some film snobs that say it doesn't deserve it. There are nerds everywhere that are excited. I can honestly say it was one of the films that made me laugh the most that I watched in 2016. So I think it's deserved to be there for a comedy. Let's go around to start with Larry.
Yeah, I'm totally fine with it there. Like we said, this is the Golden Globes. You know, this is the drunk uncle of award season. So what better place to have, you know, a character like Deadpool represented? I don't think it's going to win. Just having it there kind of expands the viewing audience for the Globes. So as far as a ratings thing goes, it makes perfect sense that it would be there. And, for its own merits, it is a funny movie. It's entertaining, funny, whatever. It's kind of a popcorn throwaway type movie. But I don't have any problem with it there.
Can I go real quick? Because I have a list for you that could have been there.
I wanted to cry. I knew
that. Army Man, The Nice Guys, The Edge of 17.
Ooh,
What
Nice
Everybody
Guys.
Wants Some, Hail Caesar. That segment was called Movies That Should Have Been There Instead of Deadpool.
I retract my statement. The Nice Guys should have been there instead of Deadpool. That's an excellent point.
Like, there is so much that could have been there, and we gave it to something you said, a ratings ploy? That's what this is. It's like, here, we'll just give it to Deadpool.
I disagree with you. I will battle you out on that one, because again, I think it's one of the funnier films that I watched in 2016, where most of the comedies that came out had a really bad third act. Everybody Wants Some is sort of a comedy, and I really enjoyed that one, but it only hit like a small audience for that film. You know, baseball junkies like me really enjoyed the film. It wasn't a mass appeal.
Very niche, yeah. Very niche audience, yeah.
I want to preface this by saying that I enjoyed watching Deadpool as a comedy in theaters. But I would be remiss to not recognize, I don't necessarily think this is a viewership ploy. I think this was a social media marketing ploy. I think that, you know, nominating Deadpool gets Ryan Reynolds on board tweeting about the nomination of Deadpool, which gets hundreds of retweets, which brings tons of media attention that the Golden Globes may not have otherwise had. Now, that's pretty cynical. But look, there are a lot of award shows, and they need to compete just like anybody else in any other industry. So I think it's naive to say that that didn't play a role in the fact that it was nominated. Does it belong there? I think it sort of demeans the categories, and it feeds into that perception that Larry mentioned, that this is the drunk uncle of the award shows. I look at this show, or I looked at it previously, is something that was a good way to handicap the Oscars. There is credibility here, or at least there should be. But if you're going this route, and just say for the moment that I'm right and this was a social media marketing ploy, then what does that open the door to in the future as far as what's going to be nominated for a Golden Globe? And does that lower the bar for everything else? Personally, I wasn't a fan of The Nice Guys. Shane Black, I love Shane Black. I was looking for something along the lines of Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. I didn't get it. But there were other films that I think were more deserving. And so, yeah, I think this was a ploy. I don't think it's viewership, because I don't think more people are going to tune in on Sunday night, but it did get them a whole lot more attention.
Dewey, what do you think?
Deadpool absolutely has to be in this category. It redefined the comic book movie genre. Pushing that envelope to the R-rated film, made a ton of money, was well-received. It was a fun movie, and if we're going to have a category that involves musical and comedy, it's one of the biggest comedies of the year, and this is the opportunity for that type of movie, well, basically to be recognized. So this movie should be in this category. I mean, I'm kind of sad that the Edge of 17 is the one that suffers, along with The Nice Guys, but if we're looking at this as a whole, if Deadpool doesn't happen, then Logan doesn't happen, because it showed that you can make a quality film, an R-rated film, that satisfies the comic book fandom, along with, you know, just typical people who want to go see a movie. Without Deadpool, there isn't Logan, and this movie killed, and it deserves to be in this category. It's not going to win. No chance of winning. And I don't disagree with some of the things that have been said about social media and tweeting. That's all relevant. It has to be in the category.
I want to rebut this because personally, I don't see the equivalency between Logan and Deadpool. We were going to see more R-rated films regardless of whether Deadpool opened up. And then I asked the question, what does Deadpool open the door to in terms of more comic book movies? Are we going to see a Lobo film? And anything that follows is going to be compared to Deadpool. It's going to fall short of Deadpool. It's just not going to. I don't see Fox. I don't see the major studios. I certainly don't see Marvel Studios bankrolling another lurid, like, sex-crazed comic book film unless it's a Deadpool sequel. I don't see anything else like this. The closest thing would be DC's Lobo, and that's going to fall flat on its face. So I don't see the equivalence here. I think we would have gotten Logan no matter what, because Hugh Jackman wanted it. So, but no, I don't think that Deadpool broke ground for itself. It didn't break ground for anything else.
But this is a trailblazer. This sort
for
of
what?
Opened the for a different type of comic book movie, and this is why it ends up eking into this category. And again, I don't disagree with you in terms of your social media comments and the tweeting and the what have you. I'm just telling you that based on the fact that it opened the door to a brand new type of comic book movie, that's why it gets into this category, probably barely beating out The Edge of 17 or Nice Guys. But again, overall, it's not going to amount to much. It's not going to win in some way, part, ploy, but it's also a tip of the cap to what it did for that type of genre of film.
Okay, let's establish this really quick. Fantastic Four Reboot was a shit-tastic movie. 20th Century Fox was an all-time low. Then Deadpool comes along and kicks ass. And so that's the thing is, you don't know how far ahead it is with Deadpool because Fantastic Four was so bad, and then Age of Apocalypse wasn't that good either. So for me, 20th Century Fox did the right thing with Deadpool. They made a really good film, and it did change things because it shows that there's money out there when you make a good product, no matter if it's a PG-13 or an R-rated product, and that might push the comic book genre into different realms of testing things out. Good or bad, Deadpool has created money for creators to make R-rated comic books.
But yeah, I do think as far as the
I know it's not the, I know it's not the first
go,
one, but it's
but it was a huge it was a huge money. I mean, it was the highest rated or the highest grossing R-rated comic book movie.
Sure, but
I mean,
it's an isolated incident. What other character is going to generate that combination of social media buzz?
We'll
that
see.
Level of excitement. There is no other character that can do
Felix,
that.
Felix, I will speak well, your language. Logan, I do think your language,
okay, so
Felix.
If Logan were to come out, sorry, if Logan were to come out at PG-13, I think it would just be another Wolverine movie, you know, a long line of forgettable Wolverine movies. I do think allowing it to have the R rating is going to, you know, it's going to be more violent. It's going to be more what fans are looking for. And so I think they're going to come out and see it because, you know, they saw what they had with Deadpool. It's a totally different character. Logan's not going to be funny like this, but it is an R-rated Fox comic book movie.
You think?
So the people at Fox are like, okay, here's another R-rated property we can bring out.
You think the fact that Logan is R-rated is going to bring out more people than it would have?
I think so.
You really believe that? Because it's Hugh Jackman's last ride. They would have come out regardless. Now, would have they been happy with the final product? Maybe, maybe not. Probably
they would have to come out with like the R-rated, you know, the R-rated director's cut. You know, it would have to be the R-rated DVD director's cut type thing, like Batman versus Superman did. I think more people will come out. I'm more interested in it because I know it's going to be a little more violent. I don't know what that says about me, but you know, I think it's going to be more interesting for that reason.
And look at the social media campaign for Logan as well. What have they highlighted? They've highlighted, you know, scenes of you know, the arms being cut off and various other, you know, battle type wounds via
claws
Instagram.
In the head.
Claws in the head. I mean, that's, you know, we're all pointing towards the R rating. I don't disagree. Logan was going to happen regardless, but I think Deadpool opened the door to taking Logan to the next level. That's why this movie needs to be in the category, but quite frankly, because it opened the door for other people to try things that may have been tried in the past, but weren't quite as successful.
Felix, my thing is the team that wins the Super Bowl, usually there are 5 or 6 copycat teams that try to do that the following year. Good or bad, when you are successful, like Deadpool was, there will be copycat films after that. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
EJ, I feel like this isn't our show anymore. Do you have any closing remarks on Deadpool?
I liked watching everyone talk about this because I just doesn't belong here. This is a this is a little tiny movie in a what I think should be a big fish. It's a big pond of awesome movies, and you throw Deadpool in there, it feels like a joke. Like it's the continuing the joke of a fourth wall break from the movie. It's like, oh, I got nominated for a Golden Globe. That's going to be a joke in the sequel. I'm over it. I will talk about it more of it when we get to Best Actor because I cannot stand that he's there either.
It'll be a meta joke in the sequel for sure.
I am already rolling my eyes. And, like, there's other things, too. Like, I think Blade pushed the door for R-rated films in the 90s harder than they did. I think 3 hours of Big Blue Penis and The Watchmen pushed the line harder than...
Oh, like, you got to take a drink. Zack Snyder. Zack Snyder joke. We got to take a drink now.
Snyder.
Yay!
I know, but I don't see the door pushing. I thought it was cool. To the same right, then, does The Hangover deserve a Golden Globe when it came out?
I was meaning more specifically for Fox Studio. like 20th Century Fox.
Yeah, I can say them because they've had some pretty shit-tastic years.
Right,
but
it's
interesting that it's here. I'm intrigued by some people being okay with it. If this gets an Oscar nomination, I'm leaving the country.
It's not going to get an Oscar nomination. Relax.
It's scary. My pretentious film heart cannot handle this.
Pardon me, Matt, but the monkeys are out of bananas. What do you mean we have no more bananas? I would suggest you go to a break. Welcome back to the Monkeys Fighting Robots podcast.
Let's go jump into the Golden Globes and talk about the best picture in the drama category. We have Hacksaw Ridge, Hell or High Water, Lion, Manchester by the Sea, and Moonlight. EJ, since it is your show, you go first.
My pick was going to be Arrival. Arrival's not here, so my pick's Moonlight. I think Moonlight's a great film. I don't think it's the revolutionary film some people are calling it. I feel like I've seen it before, but it's awesome, and I really want it to win.
And then Dewey, Felix, and Larry, you all picked Manchester by the Sea. Dewey, quickly tell me why you like this film.
Well, I love Moonlight as well, but Manchester by the Sea has won basically every guild vote that's been out there, from New York to Florida all the way to California, and it's got all this momentum. It's a tremendous film, tremendous acting. It's going to get a bunch of nominations at the Oscars. It's going to kill at the Golden Globes this Sunday. It's definitely going to win.
Felix, I did not see Manchester by the Sea because it looks like a depressing drama, and I need to be in a certain state of alcohol consumption to watch this film. Why should I go see Manchester by the Sea?
Because its performers are performing at a level that needs to be seen to be appreciated. Casey Affleck has arguably never done anything better than this, and he's done quality work before. Kenneth Lagerin, as a director, as a writer-director, is extremely talented. This is a beautifully crafted film, and you'll see sometimes in my reviews I'll refer to emotions or themes that are related in a film as being quote-unquote true, okay, genuine. You recognize them as real, and there is nothing in Manchester by the Sea that is not genuine. Now, it may not reach certain audiences, because as one of our number pointed out, it's all white people. It is.
That was me.
But, you know, in the place and time that the story is set, that makes perfect sense. So that didn't throw me out of the narrative at all. And for the record, folks, for people who don't know, no, I'm not white. I'm a Filipino-Cuban. I'm as minority as it gets. All right? And it still got to me, because what the actors are projecting on screen, it's arresting. It's captivating. There is something uplifting here, but it's not uplifting to the point where it's saccharine, where it feels false, where it feels Hollywood. This is people grappling with tragedy. And how do you overcome this to become something better? And it's not easy. And watching this film, it's not easy, but it is worthwhile.
Larry.
I couldn't agree with you more, Felix.
You're my Western guy. If there was one guy out of the group that I thought was going to pick Hell or High Water, it was going to be you. Why did you pick Manchester by the Sea over this amazing film, Hell or High Water?
Okay, now, I picked Manchester by the Sea not because it's my favorite one out of the category at all. I picked it because I think it's going to win. You know, I'm just picking the winners here. I would probably have it third on this list behind Hell or High Water and Moonlight. I think those are both superior films, especially seeing Hell or High Water. Don't want to get political, but post-election, it really has a lot of things to say about our current state and a lot of the voter turnout this November. That and Moonlight, I've never seen anything like it. I might not have anything in my head that that I'm thinking of right now, but I've never seen anything like Moonlight. So one of those two, I think, deserves it. Now, as far as who's going to get it, it's going to be Manchester by the Sea. I think it's a good movie, and it is sad, but I found myself laughing a lot, sometimes at, you know, uncomfortable spots, which I think Lonergan was trying to get. He made things messy. Yes. He made things, you know, there was little details all the way through it. A gurney's not working right at a horrible time. You know, they lose their car at one time. It's hilarious, and it's all in the middle of all this horrible, horrible tragedy they're dealing with. And it just kind of gave it that realism. But at the same time, cinematically, Moonlight or Hell or High Water, I would pick with my heart, I guess, over that.
Rebuttals?
I want to say my favorite film, it wasn't on this list either. My favorite film for the whole year was Captain Fantastic with Viggo Mortensen. And we can talk about that because he did score a nomination for a Best Actor. But and I loved Hell or High Water. I want to go on the record and saying that as well. That was in my top five for the year by far. But Manchester by the Sea is just a finer crafted film.
DJ?
I will say I think Hell or High Water would have been, or even Hacksaw Ridge. I ended up seeing Hacksaw Ridge a little later than most people did, and I really loved the film. That would have been cool. I just find Manchester by the Sea the most mundane, boring piece, and it's just not for me. You know, I'm glad it's getting its love. It's cool. Don't like Casey Affleck at all. Didn't like Casey Affleck before his sexual assault scandal. Don't like him after. Still, just kind of mediocre on the whole piece. It's fine. And my whole comment about the people of color not being in the film is just more like, it was just boring. It was like eating like toast with no butter on it. It was just dry. And hey, it's probably going to win. And
sometimes life is boring. Sometimes life is dry. Sometimes life is tragedy. And that's what Lagerin was going for in the film. It was tremendously shot. It was tremendously crafted. It was about as raw of a film as I've ever seen. I think Moonlight's right up there with it, but there's nothing about, I don't know how you could use the word boring describing this film. This film is the furthest thing from boring. We're dealing with tragedy on an epic level, and these actors, Affleck and Michelle Williams, just convey such heartbreak in this film that you can't help but just be a puddle when you leave the theater. So when you say it's boring, I don't get it, man. Sorry.
I don't get that you said Michelle Williams emotes things. I've never seen that in the history of her career. So.
Have you seen the film?
Yes, I have. I thought it was boring.
Did you see the scene that they had on the street?
I wish we had video of this. This video is awesome right now.
I'm going to call the Men in Black because it's confirmed now he's an alien. He just perceives emotion.
What's the unimaginable fuck, DJ? Seriously. I mean, come on,
call
man.
Call the MIBs right now with the straitjackets. Just do it.
I'm trying.
Just haul him away and let's move on.
But if that's reason enough to like something, why didn't Nocturnal Animals get a pick then? You know what I mean? It's just weird.
Or The Arrival. Get picks. The Arrival. Let's go back to The Arrival. Like, The Arrival has... I've been thinking about that movie the whole entire time since I've seen that movie. Like, that should be in there. But my thing as like a film goer that I, when I go sit in a film, I want to enjoy myself. And that is why I have yet to watch Manchester by the Sea, because I don't want to go through this emotional, gut-wrenching drama. There's a lot of real shit going on in this world as it is. That's why with Hell or High Water, that's real, but somewhat, it's got enough machismo factor for me to get into it. And you have like, some serious
that much mouth Jeff Bridges too, so that's always a bonus.
Yeah, and Hacksaw Ridge was a real film, and I got behind that because I said that's the Spider-Man film that I always wanted to see, because Peter Parker going against invincible odds, saving everybody. Like, I was like, oh my god, if he was just wearing a spider suit, this would be the best Spider-Man movie ever. And then you have Manchester
then had
the by
the problem of dramatic Vince Vaughn, so that kind of ruined the whole thing.
But then you have Manchester by the Sea, which is just a straight up drama. Which, if I'm looking at it, then I'd be like, okay, I get where he's saying it's a dry film. The other films have certain things to it that give it pizzazz, and this one you're just kind of stuck in a real situation. And not everybody wants to go watch that.
I don't know, man. It's not entirely. I mean, you're not just sobbing, you know, in your pillow the entire time you're watching this movie.
There's a range of emotion.
All kinds of. I mean, there's humor. There's great dialogue. There's great banter back and forth between Affleck and the kid. I can't remember his name right now, but yes. But I mean, there's some good stuff in there, and I found myself laughing a lot more than I thought I would. Of course. There were some deeply, deeply upsetting things as well, but I think it's a little more balanced than just this weepy tearjerker that everybody, you know, calls it.
At the same time,
you know, Hell or High Water and Moonlight would be my pick. So
I love the scenes where he's trying to hook Lucas Hedges' character is trying to hook up with that chick, and he tries to get Casey Affleck to talk to the mom just long enough so he can seal the deal. And he finally, Casey Affleck's like, I'm done. And they're in the car. And he's like, You couldn't do it five more minutes, could you? Five more minutes. I mean,
just talk about what. Yeah, it's very funny.
All right, well, speaking of funny, let's move on to the best picture, comedy, or musical, 20th Century Woman, Deadpool, Florence Foster Jenkins, La La Land, my personal favorite, Sing Street. EJ, this is your show as well. Where are you going with this?
This is kind of my least favorite category out of all of them. Not a big fan of any of the movies here, but if I had to pick one, Florence Foster Jenkins is awesome. Meryl Streep, in general, just it's her. She's flawless in it. She's great. This is something I could care less about any of these films. La La Land was okay. Not my cup of tea. I like my musicals a little bit more over the top. I like a Chicago more than a La La Land. But no, this category I can kind of deal without.
You know, I'm with EJ on it. This whole category is just kind of meh. You know, none of these really jump out at me as something special. That being said, I think La La Land has just got all the momentum right now, so it's probably going to take home this.
Felix, you are the movie critic, as Dewey is as well. You picked Florence Foster Jenkins over La La Land. Why did you do that?
Now, if you ask me who I think will win, I agree with Larry, and I think Dewey will go along with this as well. La La Land has all the momentum. Everyone's talking about it. It's the it movie this season. I really loved Florence Foster Jenkins, and I walked out of it thinking that this is awards worthy, maybe in a different year. I was blown away by its production design. I loved the fact that Meryl Streep sings badly in this film because it spoke to her talent. You have to be really good as far as singing to sing badly. And I'll never forget walking out of that theater, and I'd never heard so many people deliberately singing badly coming out of any kind of performance, because everybody was in love with that element of the film. You can't stop laughing at it. Now, do I think it'll win? No. And Meryl Streep is nominated in a Best Actress in a Comedy. I don't think she'll win either, because she's won enough. You know, and that's always going to work against her for the rest of her career. She's won so many times. Now, it doesn't seem to hurt Veep at all. We're not going to talk about the TV categories, at least I don't think we are. But I don't think it'll win, but I was thoroughly enchanted with the film. I thought it was beautifully done. It's Hugh Grant's best work in years.
Dewey, you wrote a very passionate piece about La La Land, and this is definitely the hot choice going into the awards program, but what was it about this film that moved?
It's impeccably crafted. It's an homage to the era of the big musical. It's staged incredibly well. It's fun. It's enjoyable. It's wonderfully acted. There is literally no chance in hell it doesn't win. I mean, I liked Florence Foster Jenkins as well. I've seen everything on this list, and the only person who could possibly have an upset is Sing Street, and I don't think that's even happening. So La La Land will win. Take it to the bank.
Sing Street, by the way, if you haven't seen it, it's an amazing film. I dumb it down by saying it's Irish Glee, but it is way more than that. And then the last sentence of the film punches you in the gut and gives you an emotional response. So it's Sing Street is a film that's worthy to go see. I think it's 99 cents on iTunes now. It was when I saw it a few weeks ago. So it's spend your 99 cents, go see the film so they make more of them. Moving on to Best Director. This is going to simplify everything. We only have one category, Best Director. EJ, where are you going?
Tom Ford, Nocturnal Animals. I know it's going to be a controversial pick for this. I think everyone in this category is amazing. Like, there's not one person that I think did a bad job. But personally, I know, I think Felix and Larry both said it. I kind of went with a favorite as opposed to who I know is going to win. I think La La Land's going to win for sure. But honestly, Tom Ford's Nocturnal Animals is such a flawless piece. It's so beautifully crafted. It's so melodramatic. The shots he frames is beautiful. The costume design that's in his film. I don't know. This is just, to me, Tom Ford making a film. It's classy. It's pretentious. It's beautiful. Man, it's awesome.
Dewey, what did Barry Jenkins do in Moonlight to persuade you to think he's going to win?
He was far superior to anybody else on this in this category, quite frankly.
But what is it specifically? What is it specifically that
he was able to take the emotion of trying to identify your masculinity and pull that out through a variety of shots, selection, the way the film was staged. I think Barry Jenkins not only will win running away on Sunday for the Golden Globes. I think he's a favorite to win potentially the Oscar as well. I mean, he's taken a little known film like Moonlight, and because he has this ability to just draw out these types of emotions that you don't expect to feel when you go see Moonlight, through the way the film is staged, and he just you leave a mess. And I didn't expect to leave the film a mess, but yeah, that's the best way I can answer that question.
Larry, did you vote with your heart or did you vote with the winner here?
I voted with the winner on this. This is the same momentum thing with La La Land. I'm pulling for Barry Jenkins, but I do think Moonlight's night is going to be Oscar night. It may not be director, it may not be picture, but it's going to be a handful of categories. It may be director. I just think the way he tells the story of the same person through three such drastically different settings in this one person's life and manages to tie it all back in together from beginning to end is just it's a film that grew on me. You know, I left the theater and I was, I was saying, okay, that was a pretty good movie. And then, you know, I'm driving around, I'm thinking about it. And the more and more I think about it, the better and better it gets, in my mind. As far as Nocturnal Animals, I enjoyed, I think it's beautiful. Of course that's Tom Ford. It is a super stylized movie and it's great in that regard. Something about the story within the story, it lost some of the dramatic impact with me knowing the whole time that this was just a book he was writing. I get that it was a metaphor for everything that Gyllenhaal and Amy Adams were going through in their life. I just thought that the Gyllenhaal Adams section was far and away superior to the actual story in the middle with Michael Shannon and all that. I just didn't have any kind of like emotional attachment to that. The other two, and Mel Gibson's not going to win. But yeah, I think La La Land will win just based on the momentum.
Felix, you're holding by Manchester by the Sea. Why do you think this is the director that's going to take it home?
Again, I come back to, in terms of Manchester by the Sea, I come back to this idea of visual storytelling. And Larry mentioned something earlier that's so key here is details. Visualizing the story by storyboarding it out. And what details are you going to focus on to convey a particular feeling? What moments are you going to key in to bring out the emotion of a particular scene? All of that, you can argue all of these directors do that. They do it well. But for Manchester by the Sea, it was just so impactful because it's such a quiet film that you really have to pick your moments in order to obtain maximum impact. And I don't think there was a false note. I don't think there was a bad choice in the film at all. That takes skill. That takes tremendous skill. And that's why I'll stick by Lonergan.
So this doesn't become a four-hour podcast. What I'm going to do now is with Best Actor, we're going to combine the drama and comedy, and I want you to talk about the actor that impressed you the most between them all. For drama, we have Casey Affleck, Joel Edgerton, Andrew Garfield, Viggo Mortensen, Denzel Washington, and then we have Colin Farrell, Ryan Gosling, Hugh Grant, Jonah Hill, Ryan Reynolds. We already know that Ryan Reynolds is out of that group. So, EJ, out of this big group of men, which man impressed you the most in 2016 as an actor?
I really wanted to say I wanted to see Fences. I haven't seen it yet, but I really wanted to like pick Denzel for this. I'm a big Denzel boy. But really what impressed me was seeing Andrew Garfield and Jonah Hill both, to me, do one of their best performances their entire career. I was really, really impressed with Jonah Hill in War Dogs. I wasn't a big fan of the movie around it because I thought War Dogs was okay, but Jonah Hill stole it for me. And Andrew Garfield, I don't know. I never thought I was going to take him this seriously as I did in Hacksaw Ridge. And I was blown away what he finally got to do. Another one like I feel about director, everyone here's pretty good except for Ryan Reynolds. Everyone here's doing pretty good. So I was really – this was hard for me because – honestly, both categories could go to anyone. I personally think best actor for comedy, it has to be Gosling. Because everyone's saying La La Land, unfortunately, is just going to sweep everything. And it's just going to be that movie this season.
Larry, where are you going with your – what actor gave you the best?
Man, Colin Farrell, looking over the picks right now. And, I think Gosling will win. I think Casey Affleck will win in comedy and drama, respectively. But they weren't my favorite. you know, Felix pointed out Captain Fantastic, and I think he picked him for best actor, Viggo Mortensen. And man, he's really great in that. And I think, you know, this being the Golden Globes, this might be, they tend to have a little bit of a mini upset somewhere along the way in these acting categories. And I think that might be it. As far as comedy, you know, I'm with Felix on that one as well. I'd really like to see Colin Farrell win. But I do think it's going to be Gosling. Those are, I think, probably my three favorite. And I just saw, I just caught up with Fences this last weekend, and Denzel Washington is phenomenal. But I think that movie is going to go to Viola Davis. So,
Dewey, what men impressed you in 2016?
Casey Affleck and Ryan Gosling by far are the obvious choices in these categories. They were tremendous in both films. Gosling's very versatile in La La Land, has the shows that emotional heartbreak that he feels when he doesn't get, you know, what he wants towards the end. Affleck going through a multitude of emotions as well. They're both going to take home the gold as well. They impressed me by far, and anything less, I don't know why you would pick anybody else.
Well, I can definitely tell you why you would pick other people. I mean, Viggo Mortensen's an amazing actor. Denzel Washington's an amazing actor. Joel Edgerton, like, he's going to come into his own at one point in time. Like, he has some stuff in there. Andrew Garfield, I was impressed with him, what he did in that movie and the emotion that he brought into it. And Jonah Hill, I don't think he should win, but like that laugh that he did in War Dogs stuck in my head for like 4 days after I saw that movie. So as far as memorable things.
If we're talking about different levels of acting here, we're talking about Casey Affleck was on another level in Manchester by the Sea. There's no doubt in my mind about this. And the only debate in my mind is whether or not the upset's going to happen where Gosling loses to Colin Farrell, because they're at least a little closer. In drama, Joel Edgerton is tremendous. Andrew Garfield is tremendous. I loved Captain Fantastic probably as much as Felix did. And Viggo Mortensen is fantastic in that film as well. Denzel's great. But they're here, and they're just not up to where Casey Affleck
is. I can see Denzel Washington bitch-slapping Casey Affleck. I could, like, Denzel Washington put blood, sweat, and tears into his thing, and I think he's getting to that point right now where he's like, I already have the respect, but I want more respect, and that's what Fences is. And so I can see, and the problem is Denzel does Denzel, but he's doing Denzel really, really well in this. So, I mean, like, I can see Fences. I can see Denzel getting on that stage and accepting the award. Casey
There's
Affleck,
no way that happens. There's no
Denzel
way that
is
happens.
Really good in that, though. He's an ass in that movie, but he plays it perfectly. He's really good.
Casey Affleck is so much better than Denzel, in my opinion. I'm telling you.
I really like 200 Cigarettes.
If you are comparing both films, Fences and Manchester by the Sea, and you're taking performance A and performance B, in this instance, Casey Affleck is the top dog.
I don't know, man. They're pretty close. I love Denzel, but that's, you know.
And I won't even talk about Andrew Garfield's accent that I had no clue what it was. But, like, that's an English dude putting, like, as far as acting and skills, like, Andrew Garfield was a phenomenal performance in there. So I can see multiple people doing it there. Being sad, like, I've had sad shit happen to me. Being sad by the sea, like, it can be easily done. You just sit there and it's the sea. I'm sad.
You can't speak to it. You haven't
seen it.
That's
right. That's right. Thank you.
That is the best review of that movie I've ever heard, though, is I don't want to be sad by the sea. Wow, Matt. Thank you. This is why we
I hope that's on the DVD.
See the damn film and then make an opinion about it.
I know.
Step on the gas. No, you can't speak to it, Matt. You're not getting it. And you need to see it for yourself.
That's right.
You can speak to it.
Actually, it's my show. This is my show, so I can actually talk about it.
And you have me on your show, so I can dictate to you this one time, and you can never invite me back. All right. Here's the thing. I want to speak to Joel Edgerton for a moment. I picked Viggo Mortensen because for all the reasons that I mentioned earlier, and I've been glowing in my praise for Casey Affleck as well. But I want to speak to Joel Edgerton for a moment because you said that he hasn't quite come into his own yet, and maybe that's because he hasn't had the breakout lead role yet. But I would argue that as far as male chameleons, actors who completely disappear into parts and who are different from one film to the next, there are few people out there that do it as well as Edgerton does. I look at him in The Great Gatsby, and then I look at him in a stinker like Exodus, Gods and Kings. And then you look at him in The Gift. And then you look at him in Loving. And it's all different. And the range of emotion, the range of character that he has been called upon to do, it's astounding. You know, and maybe that's why he hasn't had the breakout role, because he's been so many different things so well that not one of them sticks out. All right. So maybe he needs to have that iconic role, but everything he's done, he has done at such a level that it needs to be noted. It needs to be praised. It needs to be acclaimed.
I agree. I can't wait for the Uncle Owen, Obi-Wan Kenobi buddy cop film with Joel Edgerton. Like, that's going to be the one. That's going to be the breakout star. But no, like, Midnight Special, like, that was an awesome film earlier this year with him. I'm a huge fan of him.
He's great in The Gift.
Yeah, The Gift is amazing. I mean, so I know we give him attention, but I'm still... Oh, and then the Fighter movie? What was the fight where he was fighting for his family?
It was Hardy. Warrior.
Warrior. That movie for me was what made him stand out. And after watching that film, I'm like, whatever he is in, I'm going to watch after that.
We forgot Black Mass. We forgot Black Mass talking about Edgerton, for goodness sakes.
A lot of people forgot Black Mass. That's okay.
All right, so let's move on to Best Actress. And we're going to combine the categories again. Drama, comedy. I'm looking at this field right here. We have, it's a good group of ladies here. And I'm pretty excited about EJ. What lady got you most excited in 2016?
Those words have never been said in reference to me, so that's kind of amazing. But no, honestly, this is, to me, the year of Amy Adams. I really wanted to go with Isabel Hubbard, I think her last name is, from Elle. Fantastic movie, one of my favorite movies of the year. But Amy Adams blew me away in Arrival. I loved her in the three movies she was in, the one that will not be named. I loved her in Arrival, and I loved her in Nocturnal Animals. Like, I think this was her year, and she really did shine. It's weird because I think Natalie Portman's going to win it because it's a Jackie Kennedy movie, and that's just like Oscar, Golden Globes, like gold right there. But it's Amy Adams. And in comedy, it's Meryl Streep. I think Emma Stone's going to win because, like we said, this is kind of the year of La La Land. But Meryl Streep, I'm never voting against her.
Emma Stone's going to win, but I don't. When you put Emma Stone and Meryl Streep next to each other, they don't even belong in the same category.
Nope.
Not at all. We ended with Felix. We're going to start with Felix. Felix, what women impressed you in 2016?
Amy Adams has impressed me since Enchanted. Okay. And I'll say this. I'll go on the record right now. I love Amy Adams' Lois Lane. I'm happy whenever she'll appear in that role in the DC Expanded U, or whatever we're calling the movie versions of the DC Universe. So she's high on my list this season. And in the other category... Yes, we talked about Meryl Streep. I love Annette Bening. I love Annette Bening. I've been a fan of Annette Bening going back to The American President in 1994. Okay, and she did films before that. Obviously, she did great work. Also, Hollywoodland, right? Ooh. With Ben Affleck dramatizing the mystery around George Reeves' murder. And I do believe it was a murder. So many wonderful people that we love here. Yes, it's going to be Emma Stone. And yes, it's going to be Natalie Portman, but those aren't the people who impressed me the most. No.
But Ruth Negga, I really enjoyed her as Tulip in Preacher. Her role there just totally blew it up for me over the summer. And I think that she's an amazing actress. Loving is the film. That's my like underdog film that I'm hoping gets a lot of praise and continues to keep going, because I think I'm in this positive message mode for 2017, but also it's a really an amazing film. So if a combination of those things can happen and she wins, because they're two completely different roles, Tulip and then her character in Loving, the range that she showed in one year is just amazing. So she's my underdog pick that I'm going to go for. Larry, where are you going?
As far as drama, I picked Natalie Portman for Jackie, and I think my heart goes with Natalie Portman with Jackie. I think she's hypnotizing in that movie. I think she nails all of Jackie Kennedy's kind of strange idiosyncrasies and quirks, and that really tough accent. I think she, it wasn't distracting at all. The movie itself kind of loses its way in the middle. It's not the greatest movie, but as far as a showcase of Portman's talents, I think there's nothing better than Jackie. And on the comedy side, She's not going to win. You know, Emma Stone's going to win. But Hailee Steinfeld was phenomenal in Edge of 17. That movie was phenomenal. It's going to get overlooked 10, 15, 20 years down the road. It's a movie that, you know, we're still going to be talking about. It's going to be one of those definitive teen movies. It's got a lot of heart and soul to it. And I think she's great in it. That being said, it's probably going to be Emma Stone or Meryl Streep, you know, because she is Meryl Streep.
Can we give some love real quick? Can we give some love to Viola Davis? I remember how everyone reacted towards the beginning of the podcast about what I said about Suicide Squad. You can't argue that she was even good in Suicide Squad. The woman can do no wrong. And she's just, again, the fact that she's here and she deserves to be here, she stands out. It's incredible. You know, there are some people who are fans of How to Get Away with Murder. There are some people who are fans of her work in the DC films so far. You know, but I think everyone who comes in contact with what Viola Davis does, however you do, you become a fan.
Dewey, close us out.
I think you're going to have an upset here. My heart's with Natalie Portman. She's tremendous, hypnotizing. I agree with everything Larry said. But I think Isabella Huppert from Elle, a French foreign film about empowering women, about combating a stalker. It's from the same director as Basic Instinct. She's fantastic. I think she's going to pull the upset there. And in terms of Best Actress Comedy, Emma Stone, La La Land, no question about it. And I agree with Larry and everybody about Hailee Steinfeld. And she's starting to get some momentum in a lot of these votes that are going with different guilds. So she may pull the upset, but I think the upset of the evening is going to end up being when Natalie Portman loses to Isabella Huppert for Elle.
And what I'm going to do with Best Supporting Actor and Best Supporting Actress, we're going to combine those. You guys are going to talk about both of those. Jeff Bridges, if he doesn't win for Hell or High Water, I really don't know what is wrong with the world after that. The Best Supporting Actress, that's our Viola Davis right there. I mean, Octavia Spencer, I love that girl. That girl's amazing. So it'll be interesting to see where that all plays out. EJ, what do you got for Best Supporting Actor and Best Supporting Actress?
Best Supporting Actor was interesting because I think Jeff Bridges in Hell or High Water has this interesting mystique. I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard really, really, really good things. So I'm interested in that. But it's Mahershala Ali. I think that's how you say. I always mess it up. But his role in Moonlight is phenomenal. He, as an actor, was great. I think this, to me, he's going to win this. So he can also win something for Luke Cage because he was phenomenal in that. Everything he's done this year has been phenomenal. And Best Supporting Actress, to me, it's between the three women of color. It's Viola Davis, Naomi Harris, and Octavia Spencer. All three of them are phenomenal actresses, did great. But I really want to go with the two supporting actors from Moonlight for my picks.
Felix, where are you going on this one?
I'd love to see Octavia Spencer win. Hidden Figures is such a beautiful film, and it's getting the media attention that it deserves for a story that so few people know. The actors themselves, when they did an appearance at Kennedy Space Center late last year, they said they didn't know the story until they got their hands on the scripts. So I'd love to see her take this. Of course, I'm a fan of Michelle Williams's work in Manchester by the Sea, but she's another one who, every time she steps in front of a camera, she's acclaimed. Or it's like she blows people away with what she does. So it's almost like your success is going against you. And I'm in the same boat as far as Jeff Bridges in supporting. If he doesn't win in supporting, then I'm turning it off. I'm just not going to watch the rest of the show, because anytime he puts on a cowboy hat and is mildly unintelligible, he's captivating. You got to watch it.
Dewey, what do you got for us?
There's no surer thing in the world than putting all your eggs in Mahershala Ali's basket. He's going to end up winning. I love Jeff Bridges as much as everybody on this podcast, but Mr. Ali is the emotional core, one of the essential parts of the emotional core of Moonlight, and he is fantastic. And speaking of surer things, Viola Davis, just do whatever you need to do. Put all the money on Viola Davis because she's fantastic. She knocks out of the park. Sorry if that's an ESPN reference, but bottom line, she will win.
That was not an ESPN reference. You were good. We are all clear. Larry, close out this category for us.
Okay. Viola Davis, I'm with Dewey. She's going to win all the awards she's up for Fences. Like I said, I just saw it. She's beyond phenomenal. She's so incredible in that movie. She deserves anything that she gets for it, and for her whole body of work, really, for everything she does. As far as Ali getting it, I think he's going to get it, and I think he's great in it. But I also think it's kind of an award for the three actors playing Sharon as well. It's kind of a tragedy that none of the three of those actors are going to get any nominations, because all three of them are just great, but they're all, you know, it's a fragmented story in that way. And they're all three different actors. So, you know, they're not going to get nominations. Ali is the heart of it. You know, you see Sharon when he becomes black at the end of the movie, you know, he's embodied Ali from the beginning. He's turned into that guy, his surrogate father figure. And so I think he's really the soul of the movie, but I also think it's going to be a win for the whole movie, for all the performances, really. And then, you know, I'd love to see Jeff Bridges win, but I just think it's going to be Ali.
That acceptance speech would be awesome if Bridges did win.
Yeah, it's always great seeing him accept anything.
Hi, we are coming up to closing arguments time for the Golden Globes. This is your 30 seconds to talk about whatever you want for the Golden Globes, whether it's TV, film, or anything in the past of 2016 associated with Golden Globes. And I am going to just randomly pick people. And I want to hear from Felix first. That's where I'm going. Go on, Felix first.
Can I pass?
Ah, yes, you can. we will pass. Dewey, you're up next.
I think this is going to be the year of Moonlight. I think Moonlight's going to definitely surprise some people. I think Best Director and Best Supporting Actor are its biggest chances to win. But I think there's a story yet to be told. The movie Silence was not screened for the Hollywood Foreign Press. It was screened for the Academy. And I think when it's all said and done, Silence is going to be the one that kind of blows everybody out of the water. But it is nice to see that these films get recognized, because I think they're all about ready to take a seat when the big dog comes to the table.
Larry?
All right, I'm ready now.
Oh, wait, no, you pass. We're going to Larry. Then we come back to you. Fine. Larry.
Well, since we don't get a lot of time to talk about we're not talking about the TV side. It's going to be fun just seeing The People versus O.J. Simpson win all of the awards it's nominated for. It'll be that, and Game of Thrones on the TV side. As far as movies go, it's kind of a crapshoot with the Golden Globes. So I don't think any of these wins will be really indicators as far as the Oscars go, because there's going to be, I think Arrival will get a Best Picture nomination. Sure. It should get Best Director. We'll see. But that's all I have to say.
And we're going back to Felix.
I just think it would be great if Jeff Bridges does get that win for Best Supporting Actor. And then we get John Turturro winning for Best Performance by an Actor in a Limited Series for The Night Of, because then we have the Jesus and the Dude winning on the same night.
Quality.
How great would that be?
That would be amazing. EJ, Golden Globes thoughts?
We didn't, like Larry said, we didn't get to talk about TV. My big hope is I hope Atlanta just sweeps everything. I hope Donald Glover gets Best Actor.
Yes, great.
And I hope Atlanta gets Best Comedy. But to go, you know, this is something also Dewey touched on. My favorite movie of the year wasn't even screened for the Hollywood Foreign Press. It was The Handmaiden, the Korean movie I've talked about 100 times on the podcast. They skipped Golden Globes and went straight to the Academy. I want to do that. I just want the Golden Globes to be over with so I can get to the fun Academy Awards.
The Golden Globes are the best. It's where we drink and laugh and we have a lot of good times. I love the Golden Globes so much more than the Academy Awards. As far as a show, I feel like I'm more entertained. The Oscars... It just doesn't have, since Billy Crystal has stepped away from the Oscars, it's just not the same anymore.
Who's hosting this year?
Nobody cares.
No, it's Kimmel.
It's Kimmel, yeah. Right. It's Kimmel. Yeah.
All right, gentlemen, thank you so much for your time. This is day two of 2017, so I appreciate that we all have the same day off so we can talk about this. We will try to pull this together for the Oscars. This was the test run for the Oscars. I'm very looking forward to our Oscar debate, because I think it'll be more intense than the Golden Globe debate. So Felix, Larry, Dewey, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for inviting us.
EJ, you're old now. You had a birthday.
I know. I'm all of 26 years old, which, you know, hey, it's awesome. I'm glad this birthday passed, and I'm gonna kick off 2017 with some awesome stuff. You know, my latest article did really well, and I'm really happy with that. So that was kind of a good birthday surprise for me to see me call Batman v Superman a masterpiece and then get yelled at by everyone ever. So that was fun.
I was really hoping that when you turned 26, you would grow out of this phase. I was hoping it was just a phase that you're going through.
I thought my homosexuality was. It's not a phase. It's here forever. But I'm super excited, and I can't wait to do more podcasts with you. I think we both have this renewed energy for the podcast, and it's gonna be fun.
It's definitely gonna be a blast. And do you think there's like a Zack Snyder conversion camp that we can send you to?
Oh no, I've been there.
Oh Lord,
since...
conversion therapy. Are we gonna start endorsing conversion therapy on this podcast? Oh no!
Let's call Pence, see if he can get something.
No, it's so funny with the Zack Snyder thing. I've been a fan since Dawn of the Dead. I'm always gonna be there. He's my boy. You know, he's someone I
love. We're well aware he's your boy. We're well aware.
Yeah, he's
maybe
someone
you're
I definitely
his.
I wish, you know, I would love to be part of the Zack Snyder family because his movies are low-key homoerotic. So I think me and him have a lot in common.
I believe Matt's having an aneurysm right now.
No, after the family holidays, there is nothing that could be tougher than the family holidays. So dealing with movie critics is way easier than dealing with family. So, and you guys are my family. So I'm glad that we had this personal time to bond because I feel like, you know, Felix has been our solid curmudgeon. Like, he has that nice curmudgeon tone. It's a slight optimism going on there, depending on how many craft beers he's had. And then Dewey's just singing his La La Land, like, take it to the bank. Like, no, we're not taking it to the bank, because La La Land is nice. It's cute. It's quaint. Whatever. We'll see how it plays out. And then Larry. We finally get to see Larry, because Larry's just been part of the internet. We've never actually seen Larry before. So this was a good family experience.
So Larry's basically Sasquatch, is what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm a real person now. You've got actual video evidence of me and audio.
All right, guys, take care, and we will see you at the movies.
Adios.
Hey, Matt, we survived another episode. Oh, no!
Once again, there are several ways to continue the conversation after the show. Follow us on Twitter at monkeys_robots. You can look at all our silly photos on Instagram at monkeysfightingrobots. You can follow me on Twitter at Matthew Sardo. My co-host EJ is also on Twitter at EJ Christ with a K. The biggest compliment we receive is when the subscriber number goes up on Blog Talk Radio, our new home. Check it out. If you have a chance, we'd greatly appreciate a review of our show on iTunes. Always, the best way to listen to the show is on our website, monkeysfightingrobots.com.
Okay, Lunchbox, let's try this again.
There are so many people that made the 106th episode of Monkeys Fighting Robots a success. Special shout out to my co-host DJ Marino for putting up with me. Our guest, Larry, Felix, and Dewey. We're probably going to have him back. Maybe not Dewey. Not sure. We'll decide. He sniffs a lot. Jeff Shade is the creator of our amazing intros and outros. Jessica Wynn designed the Monkeys Fighting Robots logo. Are you a monkey or are you a robot? The staff at Visual Realm built our website and keeps it up and running. To all my friends, family, and the interweb, thank you very much for your support. I'm Matt Sardo, and this is Monkeys Fighting Robots.